Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, just 20 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Man, we keep saying this, like, oh, what more can you say about the Joker? We're all saying it now. Because you just can't. He's just doing incredible things. I was just looking at this stat a moment ago, and we'll get Chris's thoughts on it. The Nuggets, of course, have won 27 games in a row when Nikola Jokic has a triple-double. That's the longest streak in NBA history. Chris, what more can we say, man? Every single night, it seems like he does something a little bit better than the night before.
Yeah, the consistency is crazy. I'm not sure. You know, he comes out and he's the same player all the time, and I think maybe that's one of the best compliments that I can give him, because we in sports in general, not just basketball, but in sports in general, even your great players, there's fluctuations in their play from game to game or week to week. Maybe they have a bad week, and it's just very. He seems to almost never have a bad night, and then when he has great nights, they look like what they did last night, and the fact that they just haven't lost. You took that stat all the way back to last season. I don't even know how to explain that. I mean, it's amazing. It really is amazing that a player could have. That much of an impact on winning with this, via this one stat, which is it's huge. I mean, look, on the surface, you get it, because it's points and rebounds and assists, and so you're helping your team across, these production categories that all really matter in basketball games. But we have seen a lot of players do this and collect a lot of big production nights, and it just doesn't equal wins to that degree. And so for him to never lose, or at least in the last 27 times have not lost, and this year has never lost when he gets a triple double, it's hard to wrap my mind around the production equal winning aspect of it, because it's just something that we pretty much have never seen.
Well, and it's not just the stats. Obviously 40 points, you get one guy score 40 points, you're going to win a lot of basketball games. But the assist number that's getting all of these guys involved, and that's why you can equate the triple-double thing with the wins, because, okay, Joker's great, but that means the rest of the team is really firing on all cylinders if he has 10-plus assists. So it's just incredible to me how good of an individual player he is, but how truly much better he makes everybody surrounding him. It's phenomenal to watch every night, man.
Well, yeah, and the different defenses that he and the Nuggets face, from team to team, from week to week, from year to year. I mean, he's seen it all by now, and he knows how to carve anything up. So, you had the Clippers last night start out with Mason Plumlee on him, and largely one-on-one when they thought that they could at least hold their own with that matchup. They couldn't hold their own with that matchup, so then they go to small ball, and they put Nicholas Batum on him, and then start doubling him, which is kind of what they had to do because everybody was small on the court. And he finds open players, and those players make shots. I've said this, and I'll say this again. There is an aspect to this season that is very similar to last, in that he's not making different passes this year than he made last year. He's not reading defenses differently this year than he did last year. He's already seen everything. Last year, it was already the case last year. They'd thrown everything that you could throw at him, and now it's about how he reads and reacts to each different scenario. He's making those passes last year. They missed the shots. That's it. And this team around him this year, they are not missing the shots. They are making the shots. And it's amazing just what a few personnel changes can make. And additions, right? I mean, obviously, two of the additions were Michael Porter Jr., who had 29 points last night, and Jamal Murray, who had 21 or 22 himself
21.
Last night.
Yeah,
21. So it's, you add those two, you put KCP and Bruce Brown and these guys around you, and voila, all of a sudden Now those same passes this year are going to capable shooters, and those shooters are knocking down shots.
What's interesting too, Chris, to me is at the beginning of the season, I said I don't think Joker's going to win the third MVP in a row. I don't think he's going to get this year. The reason I thought that was because I wasn't saying he wasn't going to be any worse or whatever. I just thought, okay, Murray's going to come in and tear it up. Porter's going to come in and tear it up. What's crazy is you've seen both of those guys play for the most part pretty well the entire season. But Joker's still having an even better year than the year before. So, I mean, even when you get your weapons back, you get Porter back, you get Murray back, you're still playing at this phenomenal level, and you're about to average a triple-double for the entire season. So he just keeps doing something a little bit more insane the following year.
Yeah, and then on top of that, his team's in first place in the Western Conference and, you know, has one of the three best records in all of the NBA. And when that's the new and different. Well, the averaging a triple-double for him is new and different. Obviously, we saw Russell Westbrook do it. But, you know, so for him to average a triple-double, that would be new and different for his career. So if you're trying to differentiate one year from the next, and why would he, what else could he do to be able to win an MVP? Okay, well, average a triple-double.
Yeah.
That seems like that would be, at the beginning of the season, that's like a ridiculous, lofty standard to hold any players to. Yeah, how about you just average a triple-double? How about you average 25 points per game and average a triple double? And how about you don't shoot less than 60% from the field, average 25 points from the game and average a triple double? Let's see if you can do that. Oh, by the way, he's just going to do that. And then he has now led his team to first place in the Western Conference. And so those are the new and different things. And so it's unbelievable that we would even fix our mouths to ask that of a player, but he is not a normal player. He is one of the best we've ever seen, and he is doing the thing that would be required of him to win a third straight MVP, and the Nuggets are benefiting from it, and in his MVP candidacy, obviously, is benefiting from it as well.
Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude. Chris, when you look at the whole Bones Highland thing, and I know Calvin Booth spoke about it before the game, I'm loving everything that Calvin Booth is doing. His offseason last year, I just feel like he's not messing around. They started seeing some cracks with the relationship with Bones Highland, and yes, he's wanting playing time, and I don't know if it's going to work, and they moved on from him. They didn't let it fester. I am so far just absolutely loving what Calvin Booth is doing leading this team.
Yeah, he had a clear idea of the moves that he wanted to make to take this roster and this team from one level to the next. You know, it's they always say in this league, you know, it's one thing to go from bad to average and then average to good, right? It's another thing to go from good to great. And what the Nuggets are trying to do right now is go from good to great. And great means you're going to the NBA Finals. You're winning the NBA Finals, championship level. How do you get from, okay, we're winning 50 games, to now we're going to the Western Conference Finals, the NBA Finals, and now we're winning a title? And that sometimes, quite frankly, I think it's more than just sometimes. It's the majority of the time. It's the hardest thing to do. And what he had an idea of probably long before he was even given the GM job was how he would, what direction he would take the roster to be able to, you know, lift the Nuggets from one level to the next. And so for him, it was getting more athletic. It was getting taller. It was getting a lot more defensive-minded, a lot more tough-minded. And he just acquired all those kinds of players. And if you weren't going to be on board, as he showed you, he will go ahead and deal you and, you know, keep the locker room environment the way he wants it and have the team perform the way he wants it to perform. And that's what the space that the Nuggets are living in right now. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, the previous regime obviously put the big pieces in place here to make it look like a team that is ready for the big time. And so now you have to do the little things, the most necessary things to get your roster from one level to the next. Calvin Booth appears to have done that.
Yeah, no question about it. And that sometimes that can be even more complicated. Joker, obviously drafting him in the second round, all that research that goes into it with what Tim Connelly did. Yes, those are all really difficult things and astonishing things to get your stars to really shine and to grow throw Nikola Jokic this way, but finding the right pieces around. Because, Chris, we see a lot of superstars. Heck, Damian Lillard had 71 points last night. He has no championships to show for anything, and I don't think the Trailblazers are even thinking about that right now. So finding those pieces that really complement your stars, to me, can be one of the more difficult things in all of sports.
Yeah, I mean, if there's nothing that the NBA hasn't shown you, it's the value of a good support staff around your stars. You know, it's vital. You know, obviously you want to have the stars. Like, that's the main piece. Do you have a player or two? You pretty much in this league, you need at least two. Do you have two guys that are, like, every single night your lead guys? Like they are really driving, wins and losses, point production, all those things. Do you have that guy? They're clutch. They're all the things that you're looking for in a lead player or lead players. Once you get those two, it's about filling the roster out the right way. And if there's nothing that the Portland Trailblazers haven't shown you for many years now, we're not even just talking about this season. How many times have the equation changed around Damian Lillard? And for a long time, it was Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, and they would, you know, mix and match the players around them. And they only had the 1 year where they went to the Western Conference Finals and got swept right out of there by the Phoenix Suns. It's hard to do. And now they're trying again, and now this team is failing. And so it's hard to do. We saw, look at the Los Angeles Lakers, and just exactly what can happen when you change the equation for the better around your two stars. You know, Jared Vanderbilt's all running like a madman all around the court, blocking all the shots, getting all the steals, getting all the rebounds at 17 of them, really putting an imprint on the basketball game. And so then what that does, you know, and then you have other guys around them making shots too. And then what that does is allow LeBron James and Anthony Davis to have the kind of impact that stars have on the game, because everything else is already taken care of. You have to have those pieces in place. They have to be able to perform at a certain level more often than not. And you have to have multiples of those players. And the Nuggets, you know, they have had good, I think, players around Joker and Jamal, but now it appears they have great players around Joker and Jamal. And, you know, that's made all the difference for this team, which offensively cannot be stopped. Defensively has been, since December, one of the top 10 defensive teams in the NBA. And for the entirety of the season has been one of the top two or three clutch defenses in the NBA. And that's all due not just to the stars, but to the players around those two stars.
Yeah, sure feels like a complete team with their mega superstar, man. So we'll see. 20 games left. We're getting down to it, Chris. How many more wins would you think, if you just average it out, for the Nuggets to clinch this thing? Is it going to take like 10 more wins, something like that, for them to make sure? Because I think Memphis is like five and a half games behind the Nuggets.
Yeah, let me, while we're talking, I actually do have that.
Oh, look at that.
And I'm a little bit away from the phone right here for a quick second, but bear with me.
I've got you. I got you.
It is their magic number to clinch the number one seed is 17. Their magic number to clinch a playoff spot in general is 8. So, you know, 8 to clinch a playoff spot, and by playoff spot I mean top 6. So this is not the pass, whereas we're top 8. So we're talking top 6 and then 17 to clinch the number one seed. So a little bit of ways to go, but I don't see why they don't get there.
I'm right there with you, my man. Chris, always appreciate your insight, my friend, and we'll look to catch up with you next week. Big one coming up. I know they got Houston on Tuesday, but Friday, rematch again against Memphis. That game didn't go the way they wanted to on Saturday, but always looking forward to that one, man. That should be fun.
Yeah, it should be fun. I was in Memphis for this one a couple of days ago, and that was a playoff energized atmosphere at FedEx Forum, and I would expect that it's going to be the same thing at Ball Arena. Those fans are going to get right on after the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Nuggets are going to definitely be looking for revenge, but you got to take care of Houston. As you said, they were the team that just gave up 71 points to Damian Lillard, so it's not like they're playing a lot of defense in Houston. So just run your stuff. Take the game seriously and get out of there with victory. Come on back home.
Well, I would take the over with Joker and points or something, but he may not play the fourth quarter in a game like this. Chris, you got to be careful here.
Yeah, you know what? I think the number that you're looking at for that game, it would be the total over under.
Okay.
So, right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I think You know, because Houston can score. You know, I do want to say this about the Houston Rockets. They can score points. I mean, this is a team that has enough capable players where they can push the point total pretty high. So it's just that they don't stop anybody. So, like, there's a lot of their games are played, like, 128, 124, or 130 to 119 or something. Like, so you see a lot of that with the Houston Rockets. So I would expect that would be the type of game that we would see again tomorrow night. And so, like, if you're hammering the total over under, if it's not just super high, I would take a hard look at that for sure.
I'm writing it down. Chris's advice right there, my man. All right, Chris, we'll catch up with you later this week, or maybe even next week, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Brady, we'll talk to you.
Chris Dempsey, Altitude. All right, yeah, Houston gives up a lot of points, dude. 131, 116, 133, 123. Maybe that's the bet. That's the bet. Be careful on betting Joker stuff right now, though. Because if they annihilate Houston, he ain't playing in the fourth. That's what you got to watch out for. 35 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the Local Sports Flash.